Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll go back in time to seasons past. The 22 men graced the rugged fields of yesterday, fighting for one more first down, one more yard gain, one final score which would bring victory after 60 minutes of battle on the gridiron. Tonight, we'll explore the world of gridiron greats. Welcome to Gridiron Greats Football History and its Memorabilia on the Gridiron Greats Publishing and Broadcasting Network. In conjunction with Slick Enterprises, and we're live from the Southport, North Carolina home of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'm Bob Slick, publisher and editor of Gridiron Greats Magazine. I'll be your host for the show. Gridiron Greats is the only publication in America that focuses upon the history and memorabilia of the North American football game since its inception in 1869. We cover 150-plus years of football history and memorabilia. Find us on the web at gridirongreatsmagazine.com. Is that this time? I'd like to introduce my co-host, the senior contributing writer to Gridiron Greats Magazine, a football memorabilia historian, specializing in pre-World War II items, in particular Red Grange, and also Seattle Seahawk items, in particular Steve Lard. He hails from Portland, Oregon. Mr. Joe Squires. Joe, welcome to the show this evening.
Bob, so good to be back. Seems like it's been a long time.
You are the world traveler. We were all hoping for your safe return from a foreign, a scary, in my opinion, let me rephrase that, from a scary foreign country.
Yeah.
While you were watching the other football. And I got to ask, off script here, how was your trip? How were the games?
Just like you said, our number one goal was to not start an ISIS video. I travel with three other buddies. The four of us, this is our third World Cup. You know, we love it. We have fun. I mean, it's a blast. But trust me, we realized, you know, we were going, you know, where we were going in, you know, Qatar. One friend's brother was in the air. He's in the Air Force, an officer in the Air Force. He was stationed there for 2 years, so he kind of gave us some do's and don'ts. So I feel like we went in there armed pretty well with what to do and not to do. They ran out of hotel rooms. They didn't finish a bunch of hotel rooms, so we stayed on a cruise ship that they docked, you know, the port there in Doha. And as they say, Allah was not looking, you know, on these cruise ships. So, you know, while you couldn't drink at the games, there's plenty of booze and fun to be made on the cruise ship. So we had fun, but it's definitely weird going to a country like that where half the population is, you know, subjugated, wearing burqas and, you know, et cetera. So, yeah, but it was fun. We saw 11 matches, which is just unheard
of. Oh, wow.
We saw three in one day twice. They do 4 a day. You'll never, ever be able to do that again because, you know, for example, in Russia, they would do one in Moscow, one in St. Petersburg, one in Sochi, and somewhere else. I mean, unless you had a private jet, you physically couldn't be in 4 cities, you know, 5 hours apart. And this is amazing because you had 4 games firing off and, you know, each of them an hour apart by cab, so... You know, the last couple of days we hired a driver who would just get as close as possible, drop us off. We'd run out of a game, jump in, and he'd run us to another game. It was awesome. So we'll never be able to do three matches again.
Unbelievable. Well, block that out of your mind now. I guess let's get back to football. a real game. And you pointed out something, which I did see in a memory lane auction, a blast from my past, an unopened 1965 Topps football wax pack is up for auction, which has been certified by BBCE and by PSA. It's graded. And what used to cost me a nickel many, many years later would cost me now, what, it's over $8,000 or $7,500 with the premium.
You nailed it. I love your phrase there, what used to cost me a nickel. And when I saw this is the memory lane auction. It ends, I want to say early January. I think it's like, you know, 12 or how many days? Anyways, 18 days left, excuse me. And I saw this pack. First of all, you know, incredibly rare pack. I've seen, this is my third 65 Topps pack ever being that I've seen in years of collecting. We saw one about, what, 6 months ago that was raw. That was for sale on eBay, and I've got a pretty good relationship with Steve Hart at BBCE. So I emailed the link to him and said, "Hey, can I pay you for a quick eval?" And his response was, "Save your money. I've seen this one before. It's not good." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." Well, fast forward about six months. Here's one. The minute I saw it in memory lane, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is a unicorn of the hobby." Just these wax packs. And this one is, as you mentioned, BBCE sealed. We were talking before the show, and they don't have a PSA, you know, holder for this. We think just because it's a tall boy.
Right.
But it's not in a plastic tomb. It's in a sealed, you know, little, you know, black plastic backer and sealed with the BBCE, you know, logoed cellophane. It's got a sticker on the back that doesn't have a normal number on it like they normally do, but it's the hologram cellophane. So maybe they don't logo, though. I don't know, man. Maybe they only number the boxes. Yeah, a lot of weird thing. But
I mean,
it's legit, obviously. But, yeah.
I would safely assume he doesn't need to number it, because that's probably maybe the second pack he's ever certified in his career type of thing. Because I've never seen any that he's ever certified. I've never seen anything graded on it. I've never seen them, you know, other than a couple fake ones over the years, and that's it, like the one six months ago. So, you know, it is rare. I mean, they are rare. If I had foresight, I would have borrowed money from everybody in my family and just hoarded the wax boxes. And I would not be sitting here right now and so on and so forth. But again, you know, it is what it is. It's just an amazing piece. And my gut feeling, this is probably going to go close to 15,000, 16,000. I could be way off, but I think that's what it, and I could be completely wrong. It could get blown out of the water. You know, 25, 30, 40,000, whatever, you know, pick a number out of the sky, and that's what it's going to go for. But it's going to be really interesting to see. I'll be following this very closely over the next few weeks, see what happens to it. Unbelievable.
But it's funny. We've seen ultra-rare stuff like this come to the market before, and it just, and as you mentioned, it's just blown out of the water. But this is the first authenticated one I've seen, BBC sealed, and I'm probably offline. They probably don't number when they, the stickers. They probably don't number them, you know, when they do this to wax packs, because normally wax packs go off to PSA to get graded, but they probably don't have a holder for this. So whatever it is, it's obviously good, and it's the only graded one I've ever seen. So yeah, it is. It's going to go for fireworks, and my first thought when I saw it was a young mustachioed walking in. Whenever I think of you as a 9-year-old little boy, I always assume, you know, you had a mustache back then as well. You know, walking into the store and plunking down your nickel. And you've got your, one of the few people I know who've got a Joe Namath that they pulled from a wax pack as a kid.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I've been telling people about my, you know, when I talk about my collection, they always say, what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite set? So on and so forth. And I can really say I have two favorite sets, the 65 Tops, by all means. I mean, that is, you know, the instant childhood memory for me. And then the 66 Philly, not the 65 Philly, but the 66 Philly with that green background on the back of the card. And I can just visualize opening those packs when I was a kid. Same thing with the 65 Tops wax. Just incredible memories. And those are my favorite sets. I guess if I had to get rid of everything, I wouldn't get rid of my 65 Tops or my 66 Philly. So, and I'm not concerned about condition. It is the condition I grew up with, you know, not counting the cards I ended up buying over the years to finish the sets. But they're just, you know, it's a memory. It's a great memory. It's a great memory. And, you know, if I had a, you know, spare couple hundred thousand to play with, I would buy a memory of a 65 wax pack without a doubt and a 66 Philly pack. And probably instead of keeping them sealed, I'd probably break them open and just to see what was there and see that type of thing. And the big hype about this pack, which we neglected to say, Lenny Dawson is on the back of the in the back of the pack. So I find that pretty interesting. And I do remember now vaguely when I opened the pack, instead of the back of the card facing, it was always the front of the card. I'm almost positive that's the way it was. I could be wrong though. And I don't know if it was always a similar type packing, meaning that it would always be the top card or the back card or, you know, whatever. We're always the back of the card when you open the pack, from what I remember. But the 65 Tops, I'm a little unsure about it. But then again, I kind of remember seeing the face of the player come right up. But I can still visualize, if this is possible, visualize the aroma of the gum in the pack, if that's possible. So
isn't that the best?
You know, play on words with that, to say the least.
Last year, you reached out to a couple of us for your article about why we collect. And I started off with mine with your sense of smell. I can still smell the gum from opening wax packs. And it's, you know, it's something so nostalgic, it takes me back. And I love that you just mentioned that. You're like, I can still smell the gum from the 65 pack. Yep. But, well, I would imagine there's not many people that have a collection of a 65 Tallboy pack. You know, if Lenny Dawson's on the back, what are the odds that Broadway Joe's inside? So we'll just have to,
right.
when I win it and I get it home and put it under the loop, you know, to take a peek in it, I'll let you know if I can see anything.
Incredible piece to pick up. And it's an incredible memory for me at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm always interested in seeing a lot of the old wax packs come to auction, seeing them for sale, so on and so forth. I like it even better if I'm at a show and I see some old wax packs at the same time. And I did a local show here a few weeks back in Wilmington, and a guy had some junk wax, which is no longer junk wax because, you know, the price for 90 Pro set is $25 a box now, $30 a box or whatever. But we were talking about old wax, and I know I had a few years on him, and he said his greatest memory of a wax pack was the 81 Tops. That was the one he started opening when he was a kid. So it was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
It's cool. Same auction as a 65 Philly, which I was mistaken. I thought 65 Philly was your Philly pack that you opened. Yeah, you just mentioned it was 66.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. The 65 Philly pack was the one you picked up at the whatever national that was.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, it's interesting. I still have every card from that pack. I got them in holders. I still have it. And you can still see the same stain running through on each one of them.
That's
it was funny.
Yeah, that was such a weird thing. I was so happy to get that in GAI. And you know, just somebody like you who, you know, spent your entire life opening on it. It's funny. I can't even opened thousands of packs of 84 tops, and I probably couldn't tell you the collation of them, you know, or how they're arranging. Oh, it's a gum in the middle, and they face into it, you know. But, yeah, I probably should have paid more attention as a kid. I just wasn't that analytical. You know, but, yeah, really cool auction. Pretty rare stuff, and 65 tops wax pack, and just would look amazing in my unopened, you know, wax pack display hanging in my office. So, but we'll see. I might need to sell some more blood. Yep. Who knows?
Unbelievable.
Well,
all right.
We'll see.
Our special guest, Joe, you there?
Yeah. Sorry.
Not out here. Okay. All right, our special guest is here, and I'd like to introduce him and talk to him. Our special guest tonight was a guest back in June 2017. He was born in Louisiana and grew up in Mobile, Alabama. He graduated from the United States Military Academy in 2002. He commissioned as a second lieutenant in the engineers. He's currently in his 20th year of service, with multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, has been stationed in Texas, Missouri, Hawaii, New York, California, Los Angeles, Fort Bragg, and he's currently at the Joint War College in Norfolk, Virginia. He earned a master's from Columbia University in 2011 in organizational psychology. He's married with three young children, who I had the pleasure of meeting a few weeks back. He's an expert on Army football memorabilia, particularly Army-Navy tickets. And I would like to welcome tonight Mr. Scotty Elton to the show. Scotty, welcome to the show this evening.
Gentlemen, awesome to be here tonight. Bob, great to hear from you, Joe. Same for you as well.
Sure. How weird. Teen was when you were on it. I was like, that's 5 years ago. Time flies, man.
It does. Felt like yesterday. It was a good discussion. I do remember that.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe it's just because we have so many text messages flying back and forth. And I bought that. what sheet was that I bought from you a couple years ago? And we were going back and forth about it. Wasn't it like a 3D sheet or something like that, I think?
Yeah, I think it was just I ran across some early, like, you know, 3D proof sheets that I had in the collection I bought, and I thought of you. And then obviously, anytime I run across anything large, and I'll shoot you a note.
Yeah. You're a gentleman. I appreciate it.
And I got to say this, some background here. As many know, I finally got something off my bucket list. I got to attend my first Army-Navy football battle. Compliments of Daddy's goodies, and I got to experience the pregame festivities for Army and enjoy a game of a century, apparently the first overtime game they ever played. Great seats, great company. I did make it back to the hotel room, too, on the way home. So it was a great time for all. I gotta thank you, Scotty, publicly for all the work you did for that event. And I'm gonna lead off by asking you something we asked you several years ago. How'd you get started collecting Army, Navy, and Army football memorabilia?
Yeah, I first of all, I was grateful you joined us, Bob. It was a great company, and it was a good group of people. And you know, for me, you know, when you go to one of the academies, you're indoctrinated on the football programs, whichever one you go to. I mean, it's mandatory you attend the football games, and so they become kind of part of your identity, whether you like it or not. And then after you graduate, you kind of realize that's a way to keep a connection to the academy. I think, you know, the military academies are one of the places you spend 4 years. You can't wait to get out of there. And then the moment you graduate, you're kind of always fondly looking back. Yeah. I guess it's it becomes better with as time passes. But about 15 years ago, I probably realized I was looking, you know, I was kind of a little nostalgic. I was looking for some things we had, you know, we got settled in a house. I finally had a chance to get some stuff on the walls or something up, and I realized I didn't have much from the academies. And so I started looking around, and I realized that one of the first things I found was, you know, through eBay or something, was this old Army-Navy program from 1922. And that was really my first, like, introduction to football memorabilia. And what I was immediately taken aback by was just how colorful it was, how, you know, it was this great, fantastic artwork. And it showed this, you know, this flapper woman, and she was, you know, a cartoon woman, and she was standing between these, you know, two cadets that were vying for her hand. And that was the cover of the program. It was a really great, you know, kind of caught your eye. It was colorful. It was an oversized program. And I started digging in more, and I found the, you know, the early Army Notre Dame programs, which was a pretty big rivalry through the teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. And those were equally colorful. You had, you know, some remarkable Lon Keller artwork. And so that kind of sucked me in. And then what I found, my niche was really with tickets, you know, and I think, you know, you remember the old tickets. Now everything's e-ticket. The old tickets, they tore them in half, and you had half the ticket. And I love the idea that, you know, this thing was at the game itself. And then I found that the full tickets, you know, these things were some pretty remarkable artwork in and of itself, and they were extremely rare. You know, you had something that its entire purpose in life was to get torn in half. And so yep. To find something that survived that gauntlet was pretty rare. And so I kind of, you know, set out a goal that I wanted to start piecing together the Army-Navy ticket collection. And especially it was kind of solidified when I found out that the academies themselves didn't have anything near that. They had some stubs and some fulls, but they didn't really have the full collection. And so, you know, you guys were talking about the 65 tall boys. Imagine if it was a 65 set spread across 110 years, how difficult of a collection that would be. But that was my introduction to that. And then, you know, as you guys can appreciate, as you learn more about the hobby, and you, especially if you're a niche collector, you can get pretty good at finding some really special stuff and identifying special things when it comes to market, like you guys said, with the pack there. And I've been very fortunate to snag some pretty, you know, special items as it relates to West Point football. So that's kind of my introduction to the hobby there.
So funny. I loved your analogy of, you know, going to West Point, where it's just, you know, you don't realize, I mean, and I'm, you know, ex-Navy and a similar path, except I was enlisted, obviously. It's so funny whenever people are like, oh, that must have been cool. It's like, you know, I was too young and dumb to appreciate it at the time. But what I was doing was so cool and so unique, I didn't appreciate it. And the further I get away from it, whenever I look back, you know, in fondness, it's just like, man, I wish I would have stopped and just kind of enjoyed that and realized how cool what I was doing was. That's why I enjoy your social media posts, you know, jumping out of airplanes and all these exercises and stuff that you run people through. It's so cool, you know. I love it.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, it's, you know, I think I was telling you before, I'm old enough to know better, and young enough to still do it, but definitely old enough that it hurts running around with people half your age. It's exciting, you know. You try to provide some of that perspective. I've talked to cadets and others, and I try to, you know, if I could go back in time and talk to cadet me, I'd probably smack him in the head and then give him a hug. But it's, you know, you just, like you said, you don't appreciate the opportunities that those institutions, whether it's the academy or the military or even just probably some of your day-to-day jobs, you know, offer you in terms of development and experiences. So I'm extremely grateful for everything. Every job has its hard days, but the military has been unbelievably a wonderful opportunity for me and my family. I'm beyond, you know, grateful for the relationships and experiences that I've had.
Yeah. I'm very sorry I missed that game. But, you know, there's, you know, I spoke to you at some point, you know, my mea culpa, where I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, got clearance from my wife to buy the tickets. Let's go. I bought an extra one. I was going to take a friend because she said no. And then a little later, she's like, you know what? That does sound cool. Let's do that. Philadelphia to watch Army-Navy game with a cool host and a bunch of friends. Bob Swick's going to be there. This is awesome. And then at some point, friend's birthday down in Mexico, and other friends started going to that. And at some point, she's like, we should do this. And I just got kind of buffaloed into that by several friends. We all went to dinner, and next, you know, there's six people there like, you know, come on, Joe. So it sucked missing that. But, I mean, I loved the pictures that were going back and forth, all the fun, the fan of tickets that you spread out. I was proud of that. I mean, when I explained to people what you are, what you do in the hobby and your passion for Army-Navy stuff, I do it with pride because I'm like, check this out, man. He helped with some of these tickets, the design of it. It just, he's a historian in it. It's just, it's pretty cool. And I love it that I'm proud to know you and your passion for Army Navy. How do you whittle that down? The breadth of your collection, how do you whittle that down? Do you have like a top five things in your collection that you, that you're passionate about?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I think when you're, especially when you're, you know, I would say I'm a specialty collector, probably in comparison. You know, there's not a ton of Army collectors, but when you have your team, you have your team. And so on the side part of that is it makes it hard to find some of those specialty items sometimes. So, you know, I think if you were to tell me my top five, I think holistically the ticket collection that I mentioned earlier, you know, I've got every ticket from 1899 to 2022, and about probably 95 to 96% of them are full tickets. So you know, less than five are stubs, which I'm pretty proud. That was a heck of a
that's a good run.
Behemoth to tackle. You know, I feel there's I've got two game used trophy balls from the 1903 and 1904 games. These were you know, footballs that were used during the game, and then when they won, they trophied them, right? So they carved the score into them, they carved the year, and then they carved the team captain into it. And then typically the academies would take a picture with it. And so I've got two of those official balls as well. So that's obviously a pretty rare and special thing to have. A couple years ago from Mears, I was able to pick up Glenn Davis's warm-up jacket, which is, you know, it was pretty cool. It was consigned by his son. You got to kind of take the provenance with that, and through Mears, a reputable source. And so was fortunate to pick that up with a, you know, photo that goes along. So it's kind of cool to have, you know, what a Heisman Trophy winner wore during the wartime years, to kind of hold that in your hands. I tried it on. I'm not the strapping young man that maybe Glenn Davis was, but it's pretty cool to have that.
I love that you tried it on, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, I snagged in alignment with that. So I do have a 45, you know, which is their championship year, 45 team signed football. And so it's pretty cool that, you know, I mean, Army did well during the war years for a variety of reasons. It's got three national championships, you know, one in 14, you know, 1914, and then 44 and 45. And there's a lot of discussion about it, but they're named national champions. So to have a team signed ball from that with two Heismans on it, it's pretty cool. And then I would say last one, you know, just to kind of round it out, you mentioned it, and that's something I am really proud of. So I think the hobby, at least the ticket hobby, there's a lot of concern amongst collectors that it's dying because of the e-tickets. And I can understand that. It's a lot cheaper and easier for the stadiums and the teams to manage. But one of the things that I've been able to work with the academies, particularly West Point, is, you know, there's an opportunity where they have a cache of VIP tickets, and they typically will do about 500 to 600 VIP tickets that they hand out to their dignitaries and their specialties. And so I've been able to work with them the last couple of years to design it, right? And so what they've done is they'll take one of the old tickets from my collection, and then they model the current ticket, you know, with that theme. So the 2020 ticket was a game that was a COVID game. It was played at Mikey Stadium. So the last time that game was played at West Point was in 1943. So they modeled the 2020 ticket after my full 1943 ticket, and then posted a picture of that one on the back of it. And then this year, the 2022 ticket was modeled after the 1947 ticket. So they took a scan of my 47 and then modeled that ticket after that. And so that's pretty special. I think we're trying to do that. I'm working with Greg, the painter, Greg Krenler, and had him, I've commissioned him to do a painting of the 1890 game, which is the first game. And the intent there is we'll try and get that on the cover of the program in 2025 for the 125th game that's coming up. So, you know, probably ran through those rapid fire, but if you were to tell me to sell everything, that's probably the pieces I'd put in a corner and protect at all costs.
Ooh, that's really cool. I didn't know the breadth of that how humbling is that? Did they come to you and say, hey, we know you collect on this, we kind of want to do a nod to the history of the tickets, or was that something you suggested?
I think it was a little bit both ways. I do know some of the guys inside the inside West Point. I've got some friends there, and then I know some of the other guys that work, particularly in some of the offices. And there's a, you know, there's a handful of people that are committed to just the history of either West Point sports or just sports memorabilia in general. And, you know, they understand from a profitability going to e-tickets, but they're upset that, you know, this is kind of a dying part of the game. So they want to hold on to that the best they can. And I think it was a target of opportunity for both of us that we could come up with something cool and still preserve the history of it.
Hmm. That's humbling.
You think about it, 600 tickets out of all those seats there for the game is just so mind-boggling to me. I mean, such a rare piece of memorabilia generated for such a classic game. It just blows my mind. And a quick story tying that in, I was in the elevator coming home to get back to my hotel room, and there was a bunch of guys that came back from the game. And I had pulled the ticket out with and put it with my program. Then one guy said, "What's that?" And I said, "I got a printed ticket from where I was sitting." And they couldn't believe it. So we got out on the floor, and I was showing the guys, and they couldn't believe it because they had the e-ticket. And I said, "Yeah, there was only 600 of these printed," and I sat in the section where they were in. So it was pretty cool. It was really cool. Unbelievable. Hmm. Truly unbelievable.
Funny, we were talking about World Cup, but all the tickets at World Cup were electronic, which kind of sucked.
Wow.
We noticed the natives, all the Qatarians, had printed tickets that came in these really cool little packets. And at one point, I'm like, man, I should go ask one of these guys for one of these tickets. But when we left the game, there was always a dozen or so people with signs. I collect physical tickets. We'll buy. And I was it was really cool. Well, I don't know. It's kind of odd, too. But, I mean, here it is.
Yeah.
I mean, all digital tickets, and people are really yearning after those printed tickets. I mean, we all know the reason they're after the printed tickets. It's not, you know, it's not for their collection. But, anyways.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say, moving to the game itself, I mean, it's just such an incredible experience, just everything from start to finish. The pregame tailgate was amazing, you know, talking there, then going over to the field, watching all the pregame festivities You know, the guys jumping into the circle, the overflies, and so on and so forth. It makes the game so great. And in your mind, or in your opinion, Scotty, it's got to mean a lot to football collectors, whether or not you collect Army, Navy, or college football, or professional football, or anything, whatever you may collect. What are your thoughts about that as the whole game meaning to collecting, per se?
Yeah, I mean, I know you mentioned it, and I tell anyone, whether you're in a graduate of the academy or not, whether you're connected to the military or not, if you ever have the opportunity to go to an Army-Navy game in person, you absolutely have to go, right? It is exactly what you just said is part of the game, right? So the 60 minutes, you know, the four quarters that are playing is an element of the overall game for Army-Navy. And I think what is so special about that is that has been that way for at least 100 years. I mean, that entire experience has been that way almost since its inception. And very little, you know, outside of the technology, very little has changed. I mean, amazing, you know, even the uniforms, right? Like the cadet uniforms have been the same for 100 years. They did a march on 100 years ago. There was a alumni out drinking alcohol and eating hot dogs in the parking lot 100 years ago, and they all cheer for their team and they come on, and there's a lot that happens inside of that. And I think too, and you know, there's a lot of debate. Sometimes it gets classified as not exciting football, but I think you got two teams that play, you know, was traditionally the triple option football. And so what that means to, I think, to football collectors is that is hard hitting old school football. And, you know, if you're really a true, you know, most of our collectors, friends and people in the collecting industry probably grew up with football from their kids, from when they were a kid, and they watched it, and they watched either college or pro, and they probably watched a lot of triple option style football growing up. And so you're almost stepping back in time that way as you watch these two teams just slug it out. And the first half may seem really slow and boring, but they're really, it's a long, you know, Joe, you just went watch soccer, so I don't want to hear anything about boring sports and slow building sports.
Touché.
But it's similar to that, where, you know, you don't want to be the first team to make a mistake. And I think when you watch the games, you watch and see that you're just slugging each other. And if one makes a mistake, that's where you jump in there. That's the fast movement. That you got to be quick to capitalize on those mistakes. And I think if you were to, you know, I went back and looked at it. I mean, you know, there have been 123 games. Of the 123 games, 55 of them were decided by a touchdown or less, right? I mean, they are – doesn't matter the record going into the game. None of that matters because it is a slugfest every time. It is the most important games to these guys. And so you're kind of a long answer to your question there. It's all rolled into one. You have the – you have the rivalry, you have the pageantry, you have just the nostalgia, you have the hard-hitting football. And so all of that combined produces an experience. And Bob, I'll turn it back over to you. You know, the feeling when you were at the pregame, the feeling when you walk in the stadium and you watch the game unfold, it's different than when I just go to a regular NFL or college game, right? It just feels different.
It was a surrealistic experience for me. It was just, you know, waiting in line to get into the tailgate. I'm talking to, you know, total strangers. Everybody's friendly. Very nice people talking to, blah, blah, blah. And then get into the tailgate. You got the music going on. You got kids throwing Nerf footballs on the runway there. It was just such a pleasant experience. It was so much fun to see. It was just so different. And then to walk into the stadium was just totally incredible, and starting to see what was going on the field. And then again, I knew there were some pregame activities, and I didn't realize how spectacular those were, followed into the game and a game of the century. You know, I just could ask for a better experience totally. And again, to me, the way I can explain it as a football fan, and I'm saying I don't know how many hundreds of games I've seen, you know, in person, nothing compared to it. It was a top five experience for me. I thought the time when we were living in Connecticut, we saw Army Air Force at West Point for the president. What's it called? The president's cup.
The Commander's in Chief. Yeah,
Commander in Chief. Yep. Yeah, and I thought that game was phenomenal, but this can't even compare to that. That this was just an incredible experience. Just incredible. It was.
And I'll add, you know, I think so. The game has predominantly been in Philly, and it's not a guarantee. So the city's bid on it, just like they bid on any major sporting mm-hmm. event. It brings a lot of people and money into the area, and Philly has predominantly won the bid if you look at the whole history. But you know, the next five games are not going to be at Philly. They're spread between Boston? DC and New York. Next year's in Boston. And then in 5 years it'll come back to Philly. And I've been to other venues outside of Philly, and they're okay and they're good. But I gotta kinda call out the city of Philadelphia. It is such an exceptional host to that game. It really understands what that game means to both sides. Its structure and layout right there with Lincoln Field is excellent, where, you know, it kind of has, you know, for those of the Eagles, the Sixers, and then the Phillies all play in that complex, right? So it's a huge complex. Yep. It's set up very nicely for parking. You can kind of catch a train to, you know, before or after activities or hotel. So, you know, I think, you know, if you're going to talk about the atmosphere of that game, you almost have to talk the atmosphere of the city that it's hosted in. And I got to give credit to Philly on masterfully kind of setting that up.
Yeah, seeing the layout of all the three stadiums there and have the four sports teams in that actual complex was an excellent idea, because you do have a lot of parking, and it was relatively orderly getting out of there after the game. So that was another big plus for the game itself. So it was a very enjoyable experience. Next year at Foxborough should be pretty interesting, because, again, logistically, it's a lot different than what Philly is, even with all the improvements they made around there. So that should be interesting next year one way or the other. But what a great experience. I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I that night when I went back to the room after the game, and I called Brenda up and I said, I just can't believe what I just experienced. And she went to a Army-Navy party down here. And I was texting her back and forth and sending them live pictures. So they thought it was pretty cool at the same time. Great experience.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Scotty, I think you said you're getting sent overseas. So this will be one of the last Army Navy games you attend or, you know, / involved in, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's it's kind of up in the air. I mean, the wonderful thing about the Army is you know, you typically don't know what's next on the agenda for you until the next day that you're leaving. So there's an option that I get stationed overseas that once I'm done with this assignment. I mean, it's looking like it's going that way. And so, yeah, I mean, if I'm, you know, it'd be about a 2-year assignment. If I'm overseas, I probably more likely than not would not come back, especially as you talked about, you know, Boston or DC or Jersey. I mean, great venues, but just kind of difficult. Makes it for a difficult and expensive mm-hmm. trip, but I'll still continue to work with the Academy, you know, on these tickets. I'll still continue to work with them. You know, I'm going to work with Greg on finishing this painting next year and really trying to get that in front of them for the program. I mean, the history drives on, right? And so we want to continue to make sure that one, it's celebrated, and two, there's opportunity for collectors to have a physical piece of that history. You know, I mean, 600 people took home a ticket from the first overtime game, you know, in the series, which is pretty special.
Yeah. And one of the best games. You know, what a great game. boy, it had to be a nail biter down there on the 1 yard line, the, you know, the 1 foot line, you know, in overtime. You're just like, oh man, this is it. But you know, that's the way the ball bounces.
Yep. Yeah, the Army felt it on the other end about 10 years ago when it was almost the exact same play, and then it ended up in the reverse.
Yeah, well, that's football. In a given Friday, that's why we play the game. So, I mean, you know, love having you on the program. Obviously, you know, you're here because on the heels of the Army-Navy game with the captain, but, you know, collecting-wise, you got to have some great stories that you know, I'm doing the same. I call it the monster. I'm collecting every program and every ticket stub from Red Grange's college games. I'm about 60% of the way through. I'm lucky if I add one thing a year. I mean, so your monster is this. But, you know, with that comes great stories, meeting people, provenance of things, like you mentioned with, you know, Glenn Army Davis's jacket. Well, you know, what are some good, fun stories you've had over the years associated with your monster?
I think, you know, there's been some, like you said, I mean, when something pops up, I mean, your heartbeat, you know, increases. You're like, oh man, this is it. This is my once a year thing. Right. And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you don't know what day it is. And so you're always kind of looking and feeling, but you're trying to realize it's a marathon. I mean, you can't, you have to treat it for what it is, and you can't get, you know, if you miss out on something, you get overly emotional about it. But you know, I think some of the wins I get excited about is when there's something, you know, maybe a little special to the item that I pick up. And so I've got a couple of tickets that were part of the, you know, the president's crew, right? And so a couple of games the presidents go to. And, you know, I think I have the, you know, 65 that was part of the president's box. And so the owner of that ticket was part of the president's entourage and sat in his president's box. And, you know, I'm going to pretend it was the president's ticket. You know, you can never tell with his entourage, but little things like that are always really special with this game. You know, or there's a name written on it, and you want to research who the name was and kind of what their story was and who was entitled to it. But I think, you know, you mentioned it. I think the greatest thing for this is not the physical items. It's the people you meet. I mean, I've met such wonderful people that I would not be in my life if it wasn't for this. I mean, I think you know, there's some fortunate where people get wrapped around the thing or the value. Yeah, Joe, I mean, just having met you has made my life complete. Right. And going through that, But yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, hopefully we could have had you, you know, we would have had a big crew at the game there, but it would have been great, right? Representing, I mean, he's a good friend of mine, you know, Jeff Garfinkel. I've known him for many years. We met through the hobby. Joe, you, Bob, right? Jeff Payne with VFC. I mean, there's some really kind of big name people that you get to know, and you realize they're wonderful people. I think sometimes the hobby gets a bad rep when, you know, if you're dealing with just dealers, it can be difficult, right? And so you get to know the collectors, and it's a completely different group. And that's what I've been most excited about. And that's what really, I think, my takeaway is, you know, going forward.
Hmm. Bob, with your program and ticket stub, and I know you protected it and it made its way home.
I'm looking at them right now. I got them in my man cave. And I also have my Beat Navy pin that they handed out at the pregame. I forgot all about that. I was unpacking my – I just took a backpack with me, basically. And I had shoved it in there to make sure I could get us through the TSA there. And it was fine. It was no big deal. But those are my three collectibles. And I got to make a quick comment on the program. The program is superb. The way it is laid out, printed, the articles, the information, it's incredible for what you get for $10. Programs out there for games, which are, you know, one quarter of the size and 80% less information than you would get in an Army Navy program. So that's a great collectible too. And it was interesting. They were only selling the program on the main mezzanine when you walked in at the little Eagle shops there, and that was it. You couldn't get them anyplace else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they sold and out. They sold out well before the game began.
Really? Okay. I'm so glad
yep.
I did what I did because I bought two programs, one for a fellow here and mine, and I knew they were going to sell out quick. I had a very strong feeling, and but that was just another great part of the game at the same time.
Looks like
all right. Scotty,
if I just did a quick look.
Final,
looks like there's one on eBay.
How much are they going for? Probably
$39. Three of them.
All right. I can only imagine if the tickets hit eBay and how much they're going to sell them for. It'll be incredible prices on those.
Yeah. I don't see any tickets. Yeah. That would be the rare one. I mean, I think Scotty's heart would go pitter-patter. There's two of them on eBay. Oh, my.
Yeah, I think I saw those just posted, so I think they got some days left. Those are the ones that are running at auction, and, you got folks.
One's autographed. What says, to Bob from Scotty. Oh, that's weird.
that one's really rare.
That's got to be a 5-6-figure ticket if there ever was one. That's
yeah.
for sure.
I love it.
Scotty, any final thoughts and any advice for a beginning collector, whether it be Army-Navy collector or football in general?
No, guys, I appreciate it. I mean, I think just, you know, build your network, get to know people. Take a nice, slow approach to it and I mean, collect what you enjoy, right? I mean, if you're I took the approach of I'm going to really understand Army football. It's what I love. It's what I enjoy. It's got a great history, and take the time to learn from it. And I've enjoyed that path. I mean, I've veered left and right every now and then, and I've kind of always came back to the center and sold off the stuff that's just not really interesting to me. And I've always stuck to what I've enjoyed.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Good advice.
That's advice you can get.
As you said before, it's nice to have a different perspective on a hobby other than just dealing with dealers or talking to dealers. There's a lot of lifetime friendships that can be made in the hobby. I know that for a fact. And the hobby's really grown. I mean, football memorabilia collecting, football card collecting has come a far, far, far advanced since its infancy back in the 60s and the 70s. And it's mainstream collecting today. And there's a lot of nice memorabilia out there. It's keeping the history of the game alive, so on and so forth. So I just got to say, what you've done with Army-Navy tickets, Scotty, is just incredible. And I also want to add, I want to thank you and Joe, too, for your service to our country. To see those young men and women out there at the stadium and to see them at the pregame, it just gives me hope for our world and our society and our country. And it was good for me to see that. I really needed to see that again. And it was great.
Well, awesome. Well, gentlemen, great talking to you. Let's not wait 5 more years next time. And y'all have a wonderful day.
I plan on paying you a visit to one of these assignments, Scotty. So you'll be seeing me.
Sounds good.
Our special guest this evening, Scotty Auten, Army-Navy memorabilia historian and collector and expert. Great time at the game. And a couple other observations, Joe. I really wish you were there. I understand World Cup, you know, once every 4 years type of thing. But just to see the pageantry, and you could just feel the history of the game while you were there in the stadium. It was just amazing to me. I mean, I've seen literally, probably over 50 Army Navy games on TV over the years. We always watched it. My father always enjoyed watching it TV. But it, nothing can compare to seeing the game in person and just experiencing it at the same time. And it was the same thing when I went to the West Point to see Army and Air Force, that game. I thought that was an incredible game. That was one of my top five games watching in person. And it was just great. And just to see the cadets there, you know, standing up for the entire game and never letting up their cheers for their team. It was just great. It's just a great experience all around. It's just amazing.
That is very cool. Trust me, it's would I rather be hanging out with friends watching football and the military aspect of it. Scotty, there's a bunch of us that joke around. Army, Navy, trust me, we all love each other, but the humor is there. Would I rather be watching football with friends and the captain and, you know, and everybody? I mean, I had fun in Mexico. Mexico was great, but trust me, my heart was on this text thread we had going on with all the pictures and the jokes going back and forth and everything. It was it was tough.
It was a great, just a great experience. And like I said, it was just a top five game for me. In all the games I've ever attended in person over the years, it was just a great experience. And it's just, you know, that's all I can say. Great experience. It was just incredible.
Yeah.
To attend and to see and it was a whirlwind 48 hours. That's the way I look at it. I flew out Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I flew home Sunday morning, and I got home, landed here at noontime, was home before 2 o'clock, and it was just amazing time to say the least.
And it's definitely some lemon juice in the paper cut, you know, to hear, you know, historians and friends saying that was top five game ever. And I'm just kind of head down shaking it right now, just going, crimey, you know, that, you know, if it was a 3-0, you know, thing, you know, 20 degrees below and nobody could move the ball, it's like, all right, well, I'm glad I watched that from, you know, from the warmth of the, you know, of a bar, but
yeah,
you know, watch the game and the way it ended and just the tailgating, the pageantry, that the pregame and postgame is what I was really missing, you know.
Postgame, I didn't know what was going on one way or the other. I basically just got a lift ride back to the hotel room, which wasn't too far from where the stadium was. But that was an experience in itself because, you know, 30,000 people were trying to get lift rides at the same time. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I got back. It was fine. And there was a big party at the hotel also. So I was talking to the guys in the elevator, talked to people down in the lobby there. So it was great. It was very nice. A few of the cadets checked in that night also. So that was interesting to see. And again, it's just the pageantry, the history. It's just all there. It's everything you could possibly want in a football game. Yeah, we're down about 1 minute, Joe. Final thoughts.
What a great guest. Just intelligent, articulate, historian of the game. And I love his passion and his focus. And he said something that really resonates with me. We've all collected something, left it, regretted it, come back to it. I mean, I'm in the middle of that right now, so I dig it.
I hear what he's saying, and it was such an honor to meet him and his family and his friends there. It was just a wonderful time. I can't say more about it. All right, that's it for tonight. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back. We've got to do a few more shows before the end of the year. Thanks for listening. Check out our website, gridirongreatsmagazine.com.